Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
Today, it's all about fishing. We got Jason Henniger here with us.
All about it.
We're finishing up some gillnet surveys for our walleye and sauger. Our hatchery crews are out there collecting broodstock, both walleye, sauger. They'll be collecting for striped bass pretty soon, crappie. If you see our guys out there working, wave at them and just know that they're out there collecting fish to better manage and produce more fish that will stock back into those waters. We may take 25, 50, 100 broodstock, but we're going to bring hundreds of thousands of fingerlings and fry back to these waters. But we don't stock walleye in the state of Tennessee. We don't have the wonderful walleye fisheries that we have. We know that natural reproduction of walleye is very little in the state of Tennessee. If we don't go out and get those broodstock and take care of that process and stock those fish, we won't have the wonderful walleye fisheries that we have.
Thanks to all the good work that your guys are doing out there.
I've got wonderful people, great division.
Yeah, a lot of great guys and gals work across the state in our fisheries division.
Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
The award-winning Tennessee Wildcast is on the air with the latest info about hunting, fishing, boating, wildlife watching, and all things outdoors. This year, we celebrate the men and women of the TWRA responsible for 75 years of wildlife conservation. Now make welcome your host, Jason Harmon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Tennessee Wildcast, and welcome to our 75th anniversary, Don.
Yes, what a change of pace in the music, huh?
Thanks to Chris Hennessy for allowing us to use his song Back to Tennessee, and we used it in a few different capacities this year.
Yeah.
Wildcast intro, I thought this will be fun for a little while.
I know the music video we put together as well is it brought a tear to some commissioners' eyes, I think, when we got to play that and debut it a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, check that out on YouTube, too. It's Back to Tennessee. Kudos to Chris Hennessy, and thanks to him for pretty much donating this song for us to be used for this purpose this year. And it was kind of his idea. So, yeah. And we loved it. So.
Well, growing up with Chris in Decatur, Tennessee, and his passion for the outdoors, and always been a hunter and a fisherman here in the state. So he loves the state and wanted to share this with us, and I appreciate it.
That was great. You had that connection with him, too.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, today we're going to jump into fishing. It's all about fishing. We got Jason Henniger here with us. And we'll kind of bring him in just a minute and share what's going on in the world of fisheries. But you got a radio station you want to shout out?
Yeah, we're back in our studio today, Studio B here at the headquarters office, and close proximity to WSM Radio, home of the Grand Ole Opry, and if you listen at 6:30 on Saturday mornings, you're going to hear the full show, or 5:55 drive time. Lexi Carter takes a 5-minute break and plays our Wildcast extra.
That's awesome.
Every weekday. So we appreciate the folks at WSM as well as our other radio partners.
Yep, we sure do. We appreciate those folks. And right now it's, wrapping up squirrel season.
Yeah.
So
just a few days.
A few days left for that. Get out there and chase some squirrels, or get out there and scout for turkey season. Turkey season opens up for young sportsmen on April 6th and 7th, and then the general season opens up April 13th for everybody else. So good time to be outside. Good time to be fishing, right?
Jason? It is. It's a wonderful time to be fishing.
But you said you grew up loving a squirrel hunt, and that's what you did when you came home, right?
Well, I'm an East Tennessee boy. I love to come in every afternoon in the fall from school and grab the shotgun and head to the woods, and I'd usually stay till dark. And sometimes I was fortunate enough to come home with a few squirrels to eat.
Nice.
But it's always special. It's always special when I can get out in the woods and squirrel hunting a little bit. So,
how'd you throw those together when you brought them home? Would you dumplings or what?
I left that to Mom most of the time to cook. But we had a lot of fried squirrel and gravy and biscuits to.
There you go.
That's a good mom right there.
It is. She played a large role in my development and love for the outdoors.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Awesome. That's awesome. Very cool. Well, Jason Henniger, if you don't know, is here with us today, and he is the new chief of fisheries. So congratulations.
Are in order for sure. Yeah.
I think it was official the 28th of January, and it's been a wild ride since.
Yeah, I bet.
We're finally getting our feet under us hopefully do great things like the previous chiefs that we've had. We've been very fortunate in fisheries to have a lot of good leadership over the past several years since I started my career here in 2008. So we've had some really good leadership.
Yes.
Hope to keep that up.
Yeah, and all those guys have transitioned either into some other roles they wanted to be in or directors. So
yeah,
yeah, he's working his way up.
We'll see what happens.
Never know. You never know.
Yeah, Frank's up there. Bobby was up there. Frank's there now. Bobby Wilson is assistant chief there for our assistant director for a little while, and Mark's Thurman's gone on to other things he wanted to venture out into. So it's cool. It's great. But tell us about your transition. I mean, you started out as Rivers and Streams, right, for the agency?
Yeah, I did. Even before then, though, I was, like I said, I'm a Tennessee native, born in Carter County, grew up in Elizabeth and went to Happy Valley High School, and loved to hunt and fish, mostly bluegill fishing and a little bit of trout fishing. We were very fortunate to have a lot of trout fisheries close to home that, as a teenager, I could drive to, and my dad was always keeping us on the lake bank as much as possible.
Awesome.
But like I said earlier, my mom was really, she played a huge role in developing us, me and my brother both, outdoor-minded. Mm. And she would get up on, she was a nurse, and her days off, she would get up on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and she would load us up and take us to Bays Mountain State Park.
Oh, man, and that's great.
Kids and senior citizens could fish in the Bays Mountain Lake during that time, on those days, till noon. And she would load us up and take us over there on her days off and really fostered a love for fishing in the outdoors. So it was really good.
That's cool. You studied here, right? Your degree was at Tennessee Tech, right?
I'm kind of a non-traditional fishery student. Most students either go to UTK here in the state or to Tennessee Tech and get their bachelor's in wildlife and fisheries. Mm-hmm. I went to ETSU.
Oh, ETSU. Yep. Okay. I thought you were a tech guy for some reason.
Kind of bounced around a little bit and found a home. I'd taken all the conservation courses in the biology department there, and was kind of looking to get into natural resource management. So they actually had a program in natural resource management through the geography department. And at that time, GIS was a big thing, and ETSU was kind of leading the way in that. So really got my feet wet in GIS and natural resource management that way. And then my last semester at ETSU, I took a position for Dr. Phil Bottoli at Tennessee Tech.
Okay, there's that tech connection.
Yep. So I started in October of that year and did what they called then the red surveys. And I was going out looking for spawning brown trout in South Holston tailwater. Mm. And every Saturday, I would take off over there around noon when they turned the generators off. And I would walk the river for about 4 or 5 hours and count spawning beds that brown trout had come up and made. Mm. And I worked for him October through about January, and then I finished up my last semester at ETSU. So I called Dr. Bottoli after I finished up, and I said, "Hey, you got any positions, any grad positions?" I wanted to go to school. And he said, "Nope, don't have any grad positions," but he said, "I got a technician position if you're willing to come and work for 6 months and help my grad students out." Well, 4 years later, I finished up a graduate degree and I'd worked on 15 different projects for Dr. Bottoli.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah.
Learned to tag a lot of fish a lot of different ways.
A lot of hands-on, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that prepared me for my first job with Texas Parks and Wildlife.
That's right. You left the best T state, Tennessee.
I did.
Texas.
The original UT.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I had to leave for a short period of time. Moved to Amarillo, Texas, and worked for Texas Parks and Wildlife.
I bet that was a cool experience.
It was. It was a wonderful experience. I got to do what I really enjoy is hunt. Mm. There's a lot of wonderful hunting opportunity out there in West Texas, and that's why I went into fishing, so I could afford to hunt in the fall.
There you go.
But I did enjoy my time out there. A lot of good people. A great agency to work for. Really is. And
Jason was always good at giving us a heads up about great lunch places and dinner places to stop when we were touring in the Amarillo.
That's right. Sure. Yeah, we played out there a show or two. And yeah, it was a fun area. Good.
Yeah. So in 2008, I moved back to Tennessee and took the Rivers and Streams coordinator position when Frank had moved up. And that was really my dream job. At the time, I wanted to come back and work rivers and streams in the state where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
And it was a dream job for about 8 years, and truly enjoyed it. Worked on a lot of good projects from native brook trout work and propagation of those to lake sturgeon and muskie. Just a lot of good things that we've been doing and we're still doing.
Followed you around many times with a camera on some of those projects.
I suckered you into a few trips. So those two and a half mile death marches into Sycamore Creek.
That was rough. Yeah, I was sore and cramping by the end of that trip.
But we got it done, and a lot of good work, a lot of good things have come from it. So, but then I got the opportunity to move up to assistant chief. And took that position, I think, in 2015. And I've enjoyed that position. It really has allowed me to work on a lot of different things, not just rivers and streams. But
I'm sure that was great preparation for the chief spot.
It has been. It really has been. Kind of feel like I've been doing a little bit of that work the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's still, until you are tasked with that job, it's... it's a little different.
Yeah.
But we enjoy the chief position and look to do some really good things. And I've got a lot of a good staff and employees throughout the state in fisheries and look to utilize them to do great things. So
yeah, awesome. Yeah, we got great crews out there. You know, the biologists, the technicians, all those guys out there, the creel clerks and everybody, you know, all work together real well and put out a good product for Tennessee to enjoy.
Sure enough.
Yeah. Good resource out there. So, well, let's just jump in and talk a little bit about what's going on. One of the big things we wanted to touch on was the hunting and fishing guide. This year, the fishing guide is going to be digital starting out, coming out here in March. That's when the season will start. It's going to be a digital guide, but then we're going to transition to a combo guide with hunting and fishing. So, can you touch on reasons why and what we're doing some of that there for?
Traditionally, fisheries has started their regulation setting process usually in the March time frame, and then we move forward with our proposed regulations and present those to the commission usually in the July time frame, and then those are voted on in August, September. And then we usually come out with a fishing guide in February to then start our regulation season March 1st.
In March,
and in preparing for the future and moving forward to make things a little more efficient, fisheries was approached, and we were looking to make some changes and go with a combo guide. There's a lot of states utilizing a combo guide now.
A lot of surrounding states, Tennessee uses it.
Mississippi and several others, I think South Carolina, several have utilized that combo guide. And it just gets really, in my mind, it gets all the information out there at one time, and you don't have different effective dates for regulations. We can now move to one time a year that all the regulation changes happen, and you have that effective date, and people are not asking, well, when does that take effect?
Yeah.
So our fisheries regulations in the past was March 1st, and then our hunting regulations usually was in that July time frame for the fall. So this will allow us to move our springtime regulation process to the fall, and then we will develop those regulations and present those to the commission in a February time frame for approval in March, and then the Wildlife Division will then present theirs in March for approval in April or May time frame. And then we'll move forward with one guide in that July time frame. And so this year, to kind of bridge the gap, we're going to move forward with a digital guide that we don't have a lot of changes, but we do have some small changes in some areas across the state. But I think we can bridge that gap with a digital version.
Yes, look for that online. It's out there, and go check it out. And then when it comes August, you'll have both hunting and fishing in the same book, so you don't have to carry around two books, and it's all right there in your hand. So look forward to that, and we'll have it online, tnwildlife.org. So you can go out there and pull it up or get you a hard copy. So good things going on there. Just recently, we had a Hiawassee trout meeting, and then we've put a presentation out there on YouTube. Talk a little bit about what's going on there.
Yeah, our Region 3 crew did a really good job of kind of highlighting some of the issues that we're dealing with on the Hiawassee River in managing trout, and really presented some of the research on water temperatures And they just finished up a creel, so they presented some of the creel information and about the anglers that are fishing the Hiawassee. And they've developed a presentation that we posted online, mm-hmm. and there's a survey that goes along with that. So definitely encourage any trout anglers or anyone that fishes the Hiawassee to go out there and watch that video and take the time to fill out that survey so we know kind of your thoughts on how you would like to see us manage that. So
there's a lot of interest in that fishery too, as witnessed by the crowd that showed up. To the live meeting.
We had about 50 individuals that came out and discussed with us their ideas about how to better utilize the Hiawassee River and what they would like to see. And it was very insightful to our managers, and we look forward to utilizing that data moving forward. So,
and like Jason said, if you weren't able to make that meeting physically, there's the PowerPoint that you can take in and, mm-hmm. and then participate in that survey. Make sure you do that.
Check out our YouTube page. You'll find it out there. And there's plenty of weeks left to take that survey. So, yeah. Very cool.
We're looking to utilize those type of presentations and surveys in the future for different management strategies uh-huh. and things like that. So really look forward to see how this turns the results of this survey after the presentation and everything.
So, not everybody can get out, you know, can always make it to a location. So it's good to have that online option.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just go down the list here. We were chatting earlier before the show, the Bill Dance Signature Lakes. Those are going strong. It's a three-tiered program, and you kind of wanted to touch on some of that.
Yeah. The Bill Dance Signature Lake program is a unique program. There's several states that have fishing trails, Alabama Fishing Trail. That's more of just a tournament trail that a third party puts on for the state of Alabama. And Oklahoma has a fishing trail that they've utilized some of their state lakes and things like that to market. Try to better market those for people to utilize.
Mm-hmm.
What we wanted to do is not only market those lakes, but we wanted to go in and make improvements to all these lakes to make them better fisheries or utilize better access. So Tennessee's Bill Dance Signature Lakes program is, like you said, a three-tier program where we have 8 small lakes, and those are located either in state parks mm-hmm. or some of our agency lakes, TWRA state lakes, and we're intensively managing those for better fishing. And it may be trophy bass fishing, it may be trophy bluegill and catfish uh-huh. fishing, it may be a first fishing experience.
Yeah, good access.
We have one at Montgomery Bell that we're trying to make it really easy for a first-time fisherman to go over, grab a rod, go down to the bank and catch a fish and have a successful fishing experience.
Yeah.
So, and then we've got a couple that we're managing for trophy bass. And some of the management strategies we're utilizing is habitat improvements. We're going in and installing habitat. We're going to try to influence about 15 to 20% of the shoreline with habitat uh-huh. in some of these smaller lakes. And we think at that level, we can have population level changes mm-hmm. occur. So,
well, that's great for the bank fishermen, you know, having it that close and easy access. And
yep.
Very cool.
Some of them will be close to fishing areas. We're installing new fishing piers, some new courtesy docks. We've had improvements to several boat ramps and on these small lakes. Herb Parsons and Browns Creek got totally new boat ramps. Really nice areas now to go and launch your boat in our small lakes and go have a quality fishing experience. And then the second tier we're going to 8 large reservoirs and redoing some of the boat ramps, courtesy docks, fishing piers, fishing docks, some of the tournament level fishing docks that they can pull in and tie their boats up when they go to weigh in. So some really high quality improvements at some of these larger lakes like Old Hickory and Del Hollow, Watauga Lake in East Tennessee. There's several of those that we want to work on. One that's nearing completion is Pickwick. We did some work down there at Pickwick Landing State Park, and that's one that's nearing completion for the Bill Dance Signature Lakes, and it's being utilized quite a bit by tournaments down there. So
awesome.
And local anglers.
Yeah.
But and then the third kind of tier to this is a tournament trail that is put on by tourism and a third-party vendor that kind of highlights some of these access areas that we're making improvements at.
Well, and Pickwick was the last tournament.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
And coming up, I guess, is Del Hollow, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Del Hollow at the end of March.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's definitely cool. Encourage people to get out and fish those. It's a pretty unique tournament series. It's a big fish tournament, big bass tournament, and there's hourly weigh-ins, and there's payouts for each one of those hours for both adult and youth.
Yeah, I think that's the cool part. The youth can jump in there, and it's not for the professional fisherman. It's for the everyday fisherman who wants to get out there and have a good time.
Yeah, you
know, I think it's cool.
A lot of dads and daughters and dads and sons that can get out there. Yeah. They can fish out of the same boat, but they don't have to compete against each other. So it's a really unique experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That's very cool.
But we're excited about the Bill Dance Signature Lakes. It started essentially in 2020, 2021, and it's going to take a long time to get where we want to be, but I think we're well on our way, and I think it'll be unique to Tennessee, and it'll be a great addition to our fisheries experience here in the state.
Yeah, awesome. A good partnership, too, with
tourism
and those folks out there.
Yeah. We have great partners in state parks and, mm-hmm. and tourism division. Yeah. So,
awesome. Well, we can't let this get by us. Bobby Wilson Free Fishing Day. It's always a good time to announce that. Folks want to know when that's going to happen. So Bobby Wilson Free Fishing Day is June 8th this year.
Yeah. First Saturday after the first Monday of the month.
There you go. That's how we remember. I was being quizzed earlier and I got it right.
Yeah.
Good job. But yeah, so that's always a good time for folks to get out and find a spot near you that's open, You have little rodeos, what they call them, fishing rodeos sometimes.
Right, lots of events across the state.
If there's not one close to you, just go. Just go fishing.
Yeah.
We have a lot of events. I think we were 70-plus events last year statewide on that day, and always good events. We have a lot of good partners with communities and different organizations for Free Fishing Day, and Bobby was one of those leaders in the fisheries division when I started in 08. He was the assistant chief at that time, and he led our division for many years and then ended up leading our agency for a couple of years. So it's very well-deserved new name to Free Fishing Day.
It is there, nice, so. Yeah. But, very fitting.
A lot of those events are kids fishing events, and mostly kids under the age of 13. But we're gonna try to move to some family fishing events this year. So everybody be looking at the website to see where those family fishing events are, and those are gonna be a little different. They're gonna be an education focus on those to get people from tying the hook on and baiting their hook to catching fish, cleaning fish, and taking them home at the end of the day, prepared and ready to cook. So
good.
That's awesome. The kind of the field to fork kind of deal there. You know, that's awesome.
Tends lend itself more to a repeat performance, too, as opposed to just a one-and-done deal.
Mm-hmm. I think so. You
know, come back. Hey, we had so much fun. Let's go do it again.
That's that retention part,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, One of those R's.
Yeah, one of those R's. That's cool to know those are happening, and because it's the families are already there. I mean, the moms and dads are there.
Yeah, got to bring them.
You're wanting to participate, too, and I think that's good.
Right. You know, I've seen so many of those events that are just kids' events. Air quotes, you know, but mom and dads are helping them and trying to get the thing going, and you know, and it's kind of frustrating for the parents sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, they can't. Yeah,
definitely can be, and I've been the parent at many of those events. So
tough. I'm liking that transition to the family approach. That's pretty cool.
I think it'll serve us well into the future and get those parents involved too.
Yeah.
And I'll put you on the spot. The week following is free fishing for what? For kids, right? go check the guide and you know, check that out. But yeah, there's a free fishing week that follows Free Fishing Day.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's fun. So, one more thing on free fishing. When I first started, I went with Bobby down here to the creek next to the office, and we shot a video about the free fishing day. So it's only fitting that he gets named after him.
Yes, yes. He was a huge proponent of Free Fishing Day and all the efforts the Fisheries Division and agency has toward Free Fishing Day. He was always behind a lot of that work. So
yeah, he was always fun to get on camera too.
Oh yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, before we run out of time, man, time is flying. We'll go quickly here, as quick as we can, try to cover as much. But your sampling crews are out, and then jump into hatcheries. What's going on?
You'll see a lot of sampling crews out. We're working on gill nets, finishing up some gill net surveys, usually for our walleye and sauger. Our hatchery crews are out there collecting brood stock, both walleye, sauger. They'll be collecting for striped bass pretty soon, crappie. If you see our guys out there working, wave at them.
Yeah.
And just know that they're out there collecting fish to better manage and produce more fish to come that will stock back into those waters. We may take a few 25, 50, 100 brood stock, but we're going to bring hundreds of thousands of fingerlings and fry back
exactly
to these waters and hopefully better manage for future fishing. So,
well, and some of these fish, you know, do great on their own, but then some of these species you're talking about, you know, they don't do as well unless, you know, if you're not helping. And those guys, we really appreciate our hatcheries guys.
Yeah, I mean, walleye, for example, if we don't stock walleye in the state of Tennessee, we don't have the wonderful walleye fisheries that we have. We know that natural reproduction of walleye is very little in the state of Tennessee, and so if we don't stock those fish, we don't go out and get those brood stock and take care of that process and stock those fish, we won't have the wonderful walleye fisheries that we have across the state. So,
and Tennessee has the state record? I mean, the world record walleye.
World record walleye, yes, sir.
That's crazy.
Just right up the road here from below Cordell Hall.
Yeah, that's crazy to think. It's a whopper. It's on the wall here at the office. Come by and see us. Take a look at it. Yeah. So winter trout stocking, those were wrapped up. That was a great event. There's still trout out there to catch.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Yeah, we had a really good year for winter trout stockings. We didn't have a lot of delays due to weather. A few, but not as many as some years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw a lot of good use of our winter trout fisheries from a lot of anglers. Seen a lot of posts online of people catching trout and keeping a limit of trout to go and eat. I'm glad that they're able to utilize those fish. Yeah, sure are.
We're good use of them between now and when the weather or the water gets too warm.
Yep. So, and we're moving out of that into our spring stream stockings and our tailwater stockings. So definitely get out there and get after some of this good fishing that's about to happen. So.
Awesome. Well, our time's wrapping up here. I guess we'll touch real fast. Spring stream stockings will be happening with trout, and then we're still working with communities on increasing, you know, access and habitat improvements and things like that.
Right, so. Right. We had a wonderful project, Stewart Creek, that just finished up, added a lot of nice access for bank anglers and hopefully a lot of good fish catches this spring.
Good. Yeah. Good deal.
Very cool. Well, Jason, I appreciate you being with us today. And
no problem.
And
thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, congratulations on the new adventure here. And thanks to all the good work that your guys are doing out there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. He'll do a great job. I'm positive.
I've got wonderful people under me, a great division, and look forward to it.
Yeah. A lot of great guys across the state, guys and gals working in our fisheries division. So. Well, this is Tennessee Wildcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Happy 75th anniversary, TWRA. And I hope y'all enjoy this new theme song for the show. And we'll see you next time.
Stay connected with TWRA by visiting our website at tnwildlife.org and follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Join us as we celebrate 75 years of conservation in our great state. You can invest in Tennessee's wildlife future by purchasing a license at GoOutdoorsTennessee.com. That's GoOutdoorsTennessee.com.